Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Right now we are talking with Bill Gertz, who is senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon, as well as Inside the Ring columnist at the Washington Times, and the author of the book I Wore, War and Peace in the Information Age. Now, Bill, obviously information warfare has been an issue throughout the election and now into President Trump's term. And most people seem to be highly focused on the Russians and what they may or may not have done. I think it's fair to say they were meddling, as they have been for a long time, in our election and with the information flow. Do you see an increase in that? Is this a major change to their game, or is it just that they now have the ability through online means to have a broader and, you know, more effective way to do that?
First of all, hi, Jim. Good to be on the show. Yeah, the Russians have stepped up their game as far as the use of information warfare elements, especially targeting the United States. It's not a new phenomena, but one of the things they've done is they've created an entire new force within their military that's dedicated to conducting information warfare operations. So they recognize that it's a asymmetric tool that can be exploited to achieve strategic goals. The problem is that we in the West are only beginning to understand this threat, and we haven't done enough to try and counter it. We know that the Secretary of State is heading to Moscow this week. That should be interesting. Trump seemed to have a blind spot on Russia early on in his administration. That seems to have changed with the Syrian strike, which certainly angered the Russians, who are protecting their patron in Damascus. So it's a new form of conflict. And like I say, the goal there is to achieve strategic aims without resorting to conventional force and or on the higher end, even nuclear forces or threats of nuclear force.
We seem to be back into the conventional, you know, clash of whether or not they're a superpower or not, clash of the major powers in the world. When President Trump now, who obviously at this point doesn't appear to be Putin's puppet, has flattened an airfield that was used for a chemical attack against the Syrian people, and now we're told, is, as you mentioned, is sending Secretary of State Tillerson there to Moscow, along with his British counterpart, with what we're told is evidence of Russian collusion, or at least, you know, complicity in that chemical attack. That's slightly ominous, in my view. Is that as bad as it could be?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, that would be interesting to see what the information was that they have linking the Russians to the Syrian chemical attack. But clearly, if that's the case, then I think the information that I've heard so far in press reports has been that there was indications that Russians were working at that airfield. That airfield was used to launch the chemical strike that killed the civilians. And obviously the Russians have swung into high gear on the disinformation front. They're denying that, and we're seeing that play out in their propaganda tools. So this is kind of a case study in how the Russians are using kind of hybrid warfare to support nefarious activities, and then also using information operations to fool the world opinion.
You know, Bill, I fought in the Cold War, and this feels an awful lot like that same game. We've got full-on information and propaganda operations. We've got proxies fighting proxies. You know, we're battling it out that way. I hope that this, you know, doesn't escalate, but I don't see how President Trump can avoid confronting them.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting there. It does have overtones of the Cold War. I noticed on Twitter that Alexander Dugin, who is considered Putin's ideologist, he has written a big article which called the U.S. strike on the Syrian airfield as the first battle of World War III. So we're starting to hear that rhetoric come out from both the U.S. and from Russia. So it's certainly interesting to see how this will play out. Obviously, it's kind of a low-level warfare. And again, Syria is the battlefield for this, where this is playing out. And then, of course, you add the Iranians into that, which are also supporting the Assad regime and trying to take over Iraq. And it gets even more complicated.
Let's shift gears to another terrifying prospect, and we seem to be awash in them. The North Koreans have been not just rattling sabers, but lobbing missiles into the ocean and prepping for potentially more nuclear tests. And, you know, it appears that whatever came out of the summit between President Trump and the Chinese leader was not a solution to that problem. What is, in addition, going on there?
Yeah, we have not heard a lot about what went on at the summit between Trump and Xi Jinping about North Korea. We know that Trump had made clear that he was going to press the Chinese leader and tell them, look, you've got to rein in this rogue regime or we're going to do it. The latest step is that the U.S. is moving the carrier strike group led by the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson over to the waters near North Korea. That's certainly an ominous sign. I think the United States has completed a policy review. We don't have the details of that policy review, but clearly the Trump administration appears to be gearing up for some type of either saber rattling or perhaps even some type of show of force against the North Koreans to try and pressure that regime into stopping its provocative actions.
And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of faith that anything rational is going to come in response from the North Korean leader. But that, I guess, is the point of working through, you know, the regime that owns North Korea, being the Chinese, and hoping they can provide at least the lever of cutting off their food and oil and the other things that run that place. But seems to be just another place where we need a solution and we don't really have an option, because leading from behind, or I guess as the policy for North Korea was called, strategic patience, seems to have led to simply more problems.
Yeah, I think the real danger is that there's some new intelligence out saying that the North Koreans within the next few years are going to be able to have a long-range missile with a nuclear warhead capable of ranging the United States. So I think that's kind of driving the Trump administration's policy. You add to that the fact that the Secretary of State, Tillerson, has recently said that the threat posed by North Korea is imminent, which in diplomatic terminology is certainly a dire warning. When something's labeled an imminent threat, it carries very serious strategic meaning. So things are heating up over in that part of the world for sure.
The Iranians have always been the other wild card here. Is there a possibility that, you know, they may rear their ugly head in the context of working with the Russians and working with the North Koreans on weapons of mass destruction?
Clearly, I think the entire Iranian nuclear deal that was done by the Obama administration is a dangerous agreement that's clearing the way. It's actually facilitating Iran developing nuclear weapons in 10 years or less. The real danger I see in Iran is that they are working to take over Saudi Arabia, and they're doing it in a very serious way. They have control of the Strait of Hormuz. They're working to do another choke point in the Red Sea, the Bab al-Mandab, and they're really targeting the Saudi regime as well. And that's mostly evident in their support of the Yemeni rebels, which is an ongoing battle there. The Saudis are having a tough fight to try and defeat those Iranian-backed rebels. We're seeing the use of suicide explosive boats that are remotely piloted. So I think the Iranian problem, and then, of course, if you look at Iran's effort to try and take over Iraq, those two places are a real serious problem.
Yeah, it's a giant globe of doom right now. And the one thing that gives me hope is at least President Trump is standing firm as opposed to cringing. And that actually matters when you're dealing with tyrants. Bill Gertz, author of iWar, War and Peace in the Information Age. Thanks for joining us. Up next, we'll be talking with Steve Bucci of the Heritage Foundation.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.